Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bulls Scripted, and we are here to review the Chicago Bulls' victory over the Detroit Pistons, 105-102. Don't call it a comeback. Probably one of the best comebacks I've seen in a while, actually.
Before we get into the points,
25 points we were down, man. Before we get into this one, be sure you're going to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at On Tap Sportsnet. Following Goose at Bulls Scripted. Following me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review because that is cool and tough. Goose, 25 points down. First half looks like a bust. Millions of tweets going down the timeline saying they turned the game off. Clicker was on the other side of the room, so I was not even going to go attempt to go get it because I didn't feel like it. So I stuck through, watched that game, and Zach LaVine, man.
Hey, where's Joe Cowley? I mean, is he okay?
I think he's okay.
Did you see the tweet that he rattled off at halftime?
I did. He said that all-stars don't let that happen.
Yeah, well, what do all-stars do in the second half when it does happen? I think that's what the fuck you do. So Joe should shut the fuck up. That's what I think.
I like Joe. He just gets a little, you know, he just gets a little crazy
I like Joe more than most people like Joe. But he's turning into fucking old man Ron on this Zach LaVine thing. And Zach, like everybody else who's doubted him, continues to make these people look bad, and I love it. I don't know how you can hate on Zach. He's like the most humble player I've ever seen, and he's doing all this coming back from an ACL injury. So nothing but love for the kid, and his second half tonight was amazing. I think the only thing that topped that tonight for me was Billy Donovan's coaching masterpiece. Outside of not having Patrick Williams on Jeremy Grant more, that was a little confusing for me. But other than that, fucking masterpiece.
Yeah, I thought Billy Donovan did good, but there was a moment in the game where I'm like, are Ryan Arcidiacono and Luke Kornet on the court at the same time? Because I was gonna go play on traffic. I was gonna go play in traffic. I couldn't handle it. They were killing me. I was like, I don't like this. This is not good. But. Like I said, I can't question the guy. You know, he's a great coach. He's been a great coach through all levels, whether that's college or here in the NBA. And he, whatever he did at halftime, I think, what did Kendall Gill say? He put gunpowder or something like that in their Gatorade.
Gunpowder and hot sauce in
there. Yeah, and their Gatorade to light him off. And, you know, came out with a different look lineup, too, in the second half. You know,
Zach with vets.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that was the formula?
Yep, that's what Zach LaVine. It was Sato, Thad, Garrett Temple, Zach LaVine, and who else was in?
Denzel Valentine, who was like 1 for 11 on the night. I don't know who he got selected to be in that group, but he was out there and he was part of the comeback. So I guess Denzel can make an impact even if he's not making his chucks for the night.
He had a couple tough rebounds. I'll give him credit where credit's due there. He finishes the game with 8 rebounds tonight. That's Denzel Valentine. 8 rebounds for Denzel tonight. So, you know, he had a couple tough rebounds, a couple good finds. He had 3 assists, no turnovers. He did shoot, however, 1 for 11 from the field, 1 for 8 from downtown. So that's not very great. But, you know.
Heard he was getting traded, and he was like, I'm just going to start chucking up some bricks. We ain't playing this game. I'm staying.
Yeah, it's staying. I just released my album. I need to promote it. And I don't feel like, you know, bouncing all over to promote it. But, you know, I think the Bulls' biggest task tonight was Jeremy Grant. I mean, on the defense, I mean, he was just absolutely unbelievable. When you look at a lot of his other teammates' numbers here, they didn't really do too much compared to him. He drops 43 points tonight. 43 points. 3 turnovers, 1 block. Did have 5 personal fouls, no assists, and 2 rebounds. He was just a scoring
machine.
No assists.
That sounds horrible, but no, he was extremely efficient.
Yeah, he was. He 15 for 25, 4 for 9 from downtown, but the Pistons only finished with 15 team assists tonight. The Bulls finished with 29.
No, I mean, night and day from the second half. I mean, that second quarter, it didn't look like we were going to make it to 40. We were chilling at like 7 points for the quarter for the longest time. we're just chucking up shots. And then we even tried to go into the paint and we're bricking shit. And I'm just like, what am I watching? And we turned it down a little bit to close the second, kept it a little respectable. I think we started the second half down 18, right?
Mm-hmm. No, so, yeah, I think so. Yeah, we were down 18 going into the half, yeah.
So, you know, we made it somewhat reasonable coming out of the third, and that veteran lineup was amazing. The defensive intensity with that unit was the difference maker, and Detroit was shook.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a couple times, too, throughout that second half where I saw you, had, you know, like we talked about at the beginning, Patrick Williams not guarding Jerami Grant. I can't remember if we were recording that when we were talking about it. I can't, whatever. But I feel like Zach LaVine wanted to take that challenge because there was a comment that Billy Donovan made the other day, you know, like saying to, you know, reporters that Zach is seeing how hard it is. He's improving on defense, but he's seeing how hard it is to be a two-way player. And I feel like he really tried to accept that challenge. Listen, Grant's got size on him, like big time. He's size and size and strength. So Zach was all up in his grill quite a few times trying to, contest a shot without fouling him because he was so hot. He was trying to do anything he could, and Grant was making the shots. But I give Zach credit. He was exerting energy on both ends of the court, especially in the second half, trying to will the Bulls back into the game, and he did it.
No, I mean – no shot at Zach. Taking that challenge is something that Bulls fans want to see, and I've touched on it a couple of times, at least in regards to Zach defending the other team's main ball handler, because it does keep him more engaged on that end throughout the game. He's a good one-on-one defender, so if he's guarding the guy that's got the ball more times than not for the other team, you're going to see positive results from that. So maybe that's a formula that works better in a game where it's not Jerami Grant that he has to defend. Patrick Williams, that's somebody that we compared him to, was Jerami Grant. So that was more of a matchup I would have liked to see defensively there, but I'm not going to hate on Zach for it. That's what you want to see from your star player.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely agree with that. Now, I do want to get into this before I don't want to lose sight of this. So fourth quarter, I believe it was the fourth quarter. Yeah, when he gets into it with Josh Jackson, and was it the third? Okay, you're probably right.
Towards the end of the third, yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're probably right. You're right, it was the third. With 2 minutes and 10 seconds left here, I pulled up the clip. The intensity from Zach there, because Josh Jackson's like kind of a firecracker. You know, he's kind of an intense guy, and I love the fact that Zach didn't back down, kept walking towards him. They ended up getting a double tech on that, I think. And, that was my favorite moment of the game because I feel like after that point, like, of course, Detroit stayed in it because Jerami Grant was balling, but the momentum completely shifted at that point, I felt, you know, and that's got to give kudos to Zach there, man. That was cool and tough. That was absolutely cool and tough stepping up to him. You're the star player. You know, you're this finesse guy. I mean, you got some explosiveness, but walking right up into the fire. You know, there's a couple times Zach did it tonight against the ref saying they're slapping the shit out of me. That's his words when he's driving to the paint, gets into it with Josh Jackson, walks right at him. That is cool. And I really, everything I saw out of Zach tonight was pretty much fire on my end.
Well, the funniest thing about that altercation for me was Josh Jackson going to the ref and then going to the bench and like trying to pretend that he did nothing. As Zach's like starting to bleed out of his neck, and you're like, you didn't do anything.
He clawed him, man.
He clawed him, and we're gonna get to the paw in a second here. But Zach's begging for these calls. You know, you look at the other guys in his tier in that top 10 scoring of the NBA, and they get all these calls. A lot of their scoring comes from the amount of calls that they get. Zach's putting up these numbers on like pure field goal attempts. I don't know what his free throw attempts per game are, but it should be like plus six of whatever the fuck it is. And he deserves it. And I hope that Bulls fans voted enough and the coaches and the players are going to give him enough respect this year to get him into the All-Star game, which you said was possible. I said no way with the East getting more guards and, you know, KD and Kyrie and all that. And then Harden getting added. I thought no way. But Zach deserves to be in that game, 1,000%.
I think it'd be a fucking tragedy if he's not, honestly. I mean, I'm going to feel terrible for him if he's not in it. But like the names you just mentioned, there's a lot of names on there where how do you not have them in it and have him in it?
Because he's doing that great.
I know.
I think Trae Young's going to be the guard that gets screwed.
Well, that'd be nice.
He should.
Oh, yeah, as he should. I agree with you. I agree with you 100% on that. I mean, especially if Zach could lead this team back to 500, you know.
We're sneaking back into the playoffs there, I think, you know.
We're 12 and 15 now, and that, you know, we're 12 and 15 now.
13 and 15, so yep. We're a half game out.
Half game out right now.
And we were supposed to play the Hornets tonight, so.
Right. It's crazy, man. Well, why don't you get into the paw?
The paw? Huh?
He's benched to start the second half, but he had some big moments in the second half.
That putback dunk on the offensive rebound, that was ferocious. And that is where the paw was born. You had Stacey go off and just instinctually lets off, forget about the claw. This is the paw. And oh my God, I mean, we heard about his hands. We've heard about his hands a lot. From AK, from LeBron. And I guess it's only fitting that the 19-year-old, who I call the grown-ass man, like, I don't care what his birth certificate says, man. This dude is a man. He is huge. And the way he plays is he is not 19 years old. He hit the big three at the end. Kobe hit a three, and then Pat hit a three to close the game. And that's why I called this a masterpiece from Billy. Not only did he send the message to the young guys coming out of the half, but then he put the ball in their hands to finish the game. And that, to me, was just fucking amazing.
Yeah, I could definitely agree with that take there. You know, them not starting the half, but them being in. I mean, Thad did foul out, but them being in when the game is on the line.
Kobe was going to be in. We might not have seen Pat back.
Right.
But I mean, that would have been tragic because he might have, you know, had the game-winning shot there.
Right, absolutely. I mean, another guy you just mentioned, Kobe White, you know, he struggled tonight, but, I mean, he hits a big shot to help the Bulls win the game. You know, I really hope Kobe can find some consistency. Sometimes he had a couple great passes here tonight. Like, one of those Zach LaVine dunks in the first quarter came from a feed off of Kobe.
In the fourth. He sent Wendell on a great pocket pass that foul.
Yeah.
The three that Pat hit in the corner was a swing pass, an extra pass made by Kobe. So, he was making the right plays in the moment. So, even on a tough shooting night, I'm not going to hate on the kid. He's still 20. And I think fans, you know, myself included, and you, we want more from him because we've seen that he can do more. But you got to understand that at 20 years old, expecting that 24, 5, and 5 shit every night from him is probably just unrealistic at this point. But if he can contribute at the end of a game like that, that's growth in itself.
I was happy Billy went back to him at the end of the game, too. You know, instead of leaving Sato. And Sato played great. You know, I mean, he didn't play great offensively shooting the ball, but, you know, he comes in, he gets you 5 assists in 27 minutes, adds 3 boards. He only turns the ball over once. You know, I mean, Sato played real well, you know, in that aspect.
Nobody could shoot tonight besides Zach.
Right. You know, you're absolutely right. And again, Zach, 14 for 22 from the field, 4 for 6 from downtown.
That point blank layup and then tipped it like 4 times and didn't get the points.
Yep. I mean, he, dude, 37 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, fucking 5 turnovers. But, you know, he was trying to do a lot to get his team back into it, you know, at one point. Because, like you had said, like that second quarter, I felt like there was a lid on the basket, man. No one could even hit a fucking free throw. When Thad missed the 2 free throws in a row, I was just like, oh God, it's going to be like such a long night, man. And, you know, it turned out to be like one of the most exciting games of the year. I mean, Detroit isn't good. They're like 8-20 or something. They're not good.
They beat some good teams, though.
They have. That was my point. They've beaten some good teams. So they've played some competitive basketball. And something that a lot of people aren't talking about is look at some of the guys they have on their team. Like Stacey had mentioned, you know, this from prior podcasts that we've done. I've always liked Josh Jackson because he went to Kansas. So I've always been a Josh Jackson guy, like where I was like, oh, man, the Bulls should take a flyer on him. You know, just to see what he can do. Good wing defense, kind of crafty, slasher type guy. You know, I've always liked him. They just add Dennis Smith Jr. You know, they have Jeremy Grant over there, Mace Plumlee. You know, I mean, they have these guys that didn't have a bunch of playing time. And Jeremy Grant was, you know, basically not traded out. He signed as a free agent, but shipped out of Denver because they needed to make room for Michael Porter Jr. You know, so it's like you have all these hungry dudes over there that, especially bringing in Dennis Smith Jr., that are ready to fucking play their hearts out because some of them are looking for jobs next year.
Well, no, and we got to see if Detroit's smart enough to keep their, you know, keep some of these guys around, because they did the same thing with Christian Wood, and then they let him walk to Houston. So Detroit's doing what you're supposed to do as a rebuilding team, and they're taking a lot of flyers on these once very high upside guys that have the potential and the skills, maybe landed in the wrong spot, had some, you know, issues on or off the court that just haven't, you know, fallen their way, and they're collecting that talent, and you can see it in spurts. And for a second there, I did think we were going to have our ass handed to us by this team. Luckily, we play from behind a lot, so we've gotten pretty good at it, and we're learning how to finish now too. So we put those two together tonight, and it was ugly, but it was also extremely fucking exciting to watch.
I think the second half was probably the most enjoyable basketball I've watched in a competitive standpoint. I know we've had a lot of close games this year. I know we went to overtime in the last game. I mean, obviously we've had some pretty exciting games watching the Bulls this year, but my God, the head-to-head that Grant and LaVine had together made for some really, really exciting basketball. And it was just like, you didn't really know it was going to happen. And it's kind of cool. Like, obviously it's a team sport, but it's kind of cool. Like when the ball gets in the, you know, in the hands of your best player on each team, and they just like try to will you to victory. And well, I mean,
that does it every night. And I'm sure Grant's been doing it for Detroit. I haven't seen too many Detroit games.
I was watching when Rose was there still, you know, on League Pass. I was watching when Rose was there. And then, you know, he's only been gone for a little bit, but now I've been watching Knicks games because Rose is there. And like I told you, Hornets and Pelicans games, pretty much what I tune into the most out of anything. And Utah and Denver too. Those teams are fun as fuck.
Just the third of the league, you know.
I'm Buzz, and I have a problem. I watch too much basketball. But yeah, I just, you know, that was the most exciting thing for me tonight, is just like that back and forth. And I'm really, really happy, like you said, about pointing out Billy Donovan's coaching decisions tonight. I really like who closed the game out for the Bulls tonight. Patrick Williams hitting that big three from the corner, and then just being stone cold faced Derrick Rose, a la when he hit the fucking game winner against the Cavs in the playoffs, like that no emotion face. Loved every second of it. Tonight,
I am so glad that I can be simultaneously right about probably needing to trade up for LaMelo and being wrong about Patrick Williams. I still don't know that he's going to be the superstar that this team is lacking, but the two-way potential and just the initial output and the things that this kid is doing right away, I did not expect this at all.
Yeah, he's had some really good games, you know, and he's a good player. It's just, again, you know, when you bring it up, it's just, I see superstar potential in a guy like LaMelo Ball. With Patrick Williams, it was a question mark. I just wanted something different instead of a question mark. You know, that when you're up there from 3 years in a row to 7-4, where are you at? But I mean, that's not to say that I hated the kid, or I was like, oh, he's going to suck or anything. It's just, you have a guy, what LaMelo's doing right now. I mean, just all over, you know, fucking over magazines. He's all over the place because he's a fucking wizard. You know, it's just something that's intriguing. But Patrick Williams, I think he's going to be very, very good. And it's really nice to see. It's really refreshing to see how good he's going to be. And I do like how he's positionless. He could bring the ball up the court if you want him to. He could play the three or four if you want him to. I still like him at the three.
I like him at the three too. I don't like all this trying to make him a four. If he's as comfortable as he is.
If he's positionless, what does it matter?
No, exactly. So fit him at the smallest spot that you can and work around that.
Right. I mean, if he's positionless, it really doesn't matter.
His fit with Zach is seamless. And I've been trying to point that out to people on Twitter who keep going, well, why shouldn't the Bulls trade Zach? And, well, you wanted the Bulls to trade Zach. And, yeah, I wanted the Bulls to trade Zach if they got LaMelo Ball. Like, that was the goal, get extra assets to move up to get LaMelo Ball. If that wasn't the case, the Bulls made the decision. They decided to build around Zach, or maybe it was build around Zach or Kobe. And Zach has just clearly established himself as that guy. But Pat Williams was the fit that we needed for a super offensive heavy guard. And we got him. And I hope we had more players like that so we can keep Zach around. And the stuff that he does is just amazing to watch.
How he effortlessly scores is mind-boggling to me. And on top of that, if Billy is actually going into the media and stating how he sees Zach working on his defense, right, and we're seeing it watching all these games, I'd rather not trade him, but I've said it from the beginning and I'll say it now. If Acme pull the trigger on trading him, I'm not going to be upset because they're a new front office, man. And I'm trusting them.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't subscribe to the, you get a pass until you fuck up. No, you fuck up. Yeah. You fuck up.
No,
if your first real decision is a fuck up, I'm not going to be like, oh, it's okay. You just, you're new at this. Let me baby you. No. You were brought in to be the dude. If you trade Zach LaVine and you're wrong, you can get your ass out of here faster than the last guys, which would be hard to like not accomplish because they were here forever. But no, if you fuck up in trading Zach LaVine, like you get a shit deal and you trade this guy, I you might have to find a new co-host. I'll stop watching the Bulls again, man.
Oh God, I get. Your passion about it for sure. It's just, like I said, I'm just kind of sitting here riding this wave out. I'm just gonna see what happens.
Exactly. They needed to trade him this offseason. You don't let him dictate more than half of your season before you decide what you're doing with the guy.
Oh, right. Well, I don't think they're gonna move on from him at this point. I don't think it happens. I'm just saying if they decided to and if they brought something back in a valuable return, I might bitch about it, but I can't right off the bat, I can't be like, you idiots, I gotta give them their shot, man. That's where we differ here. We're differing here.
I'm giving them the shot. I'm just saying if they fucked up, I'm not giving them a pass. They get the shot. They don't get the pass.
So I do want to bring this up, though. A couple of reports coming out, or not reports, but Billy Donovan made a good point. The last look from Wright was wide open three. Consider it fortunate the Bulls won. Donovan is clearly holding this team to a high standard. He's not celebrating the W. That's from Casey Johnson at the post game with
NBCS Chicago.
Yeah, with NBCS Chicago and Billy Donovan there. And then Zach LaVine asked to guard Jeremy Grant deeper into the game. Billy Donovan says Donovan thought LaVine did a really, really good job as Bulls gave him little help on Grant to prevent other looks at three. That's from Cody Westerland from 670 The Score. Donovan on LaVine. He wanted that assignment. So that's the shit that I like to see. That's the shit that I like to see. Your best player wanting to guard their best player and your best player going down the court and making fucking plays to win the game.
Even when he's 6'9" and you're like 6'5.5".
Yeah, dude. I live for that shit. That is cool as hell. That is fucking competitive.
Zach literally lives for that shit. So let's ride and don't trade him. Because if you fuck that up, you don't get a pass.
I don't want him gone, man. I don't want him gone. I'm just trying to keep that good energy. You know what I mean? But Bulls end up taking this one, which is great. We do need to talk about one more guy before we move on to the next game. We kind of got into a Zach fest and the paw fest. We need to make a paw t-shirt. But Wendell Carter Jr. plays a good game tonight. He plays 27 minutes, 7-for-9 from the field, scores 18 points, 4-for-6 from the free throw line, only grabs 3 boards, but he has one steal and 2 blocks, no turnovers. And in 27 minutes, no fouls.
That's beautiful. I'm not even going to touch on the rebounds. The amount of times I've seen Lowry get killed for not having 10 rebounds because he's 7 foot tall. Wendell Carter Jr. is supposed to be the best rebounder in the world, if I read things correctly. 3 rebounds. I'm smart enough to know that in the new age of basketball, most of the shots are long rebounds. The big guy's there to box out. You don't want the big guy to grab the board. You want your guard to get the board. So
push the ball in transition.
Exactly. I'm glad to see Wendell's back. Clearly better than Cornette, who's getting the nod over Gafford still.
I think he's just making Gafford think about it, I think, man. Because Cornette can't shoot.
He's either making Gafford think about it or he misses Lowry so bad that he's just forcing a 7-footer who's supposed to be able to shoot out there to try to stretch the floor on his secondary. That's where we have been seeing Lowry. We haven't seen a backup center behind Wendell. We've seen Thad and Lowry play the 5. So, no, I'm glad Wendell's back. I'm glad he's playing more than 20 minutes, and I'm glad he didn't have foul trouble, especially with Plumlee being a really physical, post presence. The fact that we had Wendell at her disposal for the whole entire game is a luxury I'd like to have a lot more.
He tried catching a body in the first half, and I will say in the second half, third quarter, go back and look when he came into the game, he had the sickest left-hand finish at the rim. And he looked good tonight, man. He did. He looked good. Glad to see him back. Glad to see him healthy. Really hoping he can get into a consistent groove here where we can see what he can do on a consistent basis. All right, so Bulls win this one. Again, we're going to move on to the next game here, and that will be played against the Philadelphia 76ers at 6:30 on Friday night in Philadelphia. And guess what, man? That's on national TV. That's a national TV game right there.
That means that the Sixers aren't allowed to rest anybody.
Yeah, didn't they rest Ben Simmons tonight?
I don't know. I just know that you're not allowed to rest your star players on nationally televised games.
Yeah, I love how Blake Griffin gets to sit out for Detroit. And when the Bulls did that with Raylo a couple years ago, we got fined. So
I think it's because Blake Griffin makes like $40 million. So if you're trading for him, you're trading for a star. When we were trotting Felicio out there, like, I think ours was a little more blatant. It's not like we have a once top tier player that we're trying to move and we don't want him to get injured. And we're just working things out right now. Rolo for Felicio was like, well, you're sitting this veteran that's clearly wants to play and you're not trading him. And you got this guy fucking playing.
Well, Ben Simmons missed tonight's game for the 76ers, and they actually ended up winning 118-113 over the Rockets. He had a stomach flu type thing going on. They're not saying they're saying it's COVID unrelated. So it's COVID unrelated.
It was a bad pizza.
Yeah, some be a bad pizza. I ate the whole pizza, the whole thing. I ate the pizza. But yeah, so Ben Simmons, I don't know if he'll be ready to go for Friday night's game, but that'll be the next game for the Bulls. So hopefully, you know, they kind of keep this going on here. Philadelphia, I believe, is first in the Eastern Conference. They're from first place in the Eastern Conference. So Bulls will be going up against the first place team in the East on Friday at 6:30 in Philadelphia. You got anything else, man, before we ride out of here?
Happy birthday, Michael fucking Jordan.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, happy birthday to the GOAT. You know, we put that tweet out for Bulls on Tap today, and I had so many LeBron people in there just – dude, I put the tweet out. I was like, happy birthday to the GOAT or something like that. And the thing like blew up and there was like all these likes and retweets on it. And then I had all these people in here. It's like, it's not LeBron's birthday. I said, okay. I don't have time for y'all today. I'm just
gonna... See, and I don't know if it's because they're all homeschooled now or what. But I feel that Twitter has turned into just like a cesspool of high schoolers that I don't know.
It has. You should see it on White Sox Twitter. There's like all these new names that have just popped up out of nowhere. That, I mean, you know, I'm not saying that we know everybody on Twitter or whatever, but it's like all these new people.
I know like every single user on this website.
You remember Tom from MySpace? Well, that's who I am for Twitter. I think his name is Jack actually on Twitter. Jack. I could be wrong. I'm not sure. Jack. But yeah, that's all I got. Happy birthday to the GOAT. Any last words before we ride out here, man?
No, happy birthday to the GOAT. We're my last words, and I guess screw the little Lemicky guys.
Lemicky, all right. I'm gonna put that on a T-shirt too.
That's what they are. I mean, that's what the Jordan ones are. I guess they're the LaFrauden. That's what I've seen. Jafraud or Jorfraud. I don't know. There's a lot of weird. I don't know, what are they even called? Burners.
Yeah, burners. Yeah.
Meme accounts.
Yeah, burners there's, and meme
there's
accounts.
There's too many of them. They should ban them all. Get on that shit, Jack.
Well, everybody, we'll be back when the Bulls play the 76ers here on Friday night. We'll be back right here live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Everybody, be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at ontapsportsnet, at Bulls on Tap. Following Goose at Bulls Scripted. Follow me at Buzz on Tap. Once again, we'll be back Friday after the Bulls play the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's go, Bulls.